You study the ways climate change will impact people in the future. Have you looked into areas like Aspen and, you know, what changes will we see here?
Here in Aspen, people are very in tune with the natural environment. And so when we see these incredible droughts like we've seen in California the last couple of years affecting our trees and our ecosystems, when we see beetles eating millions of acres of forest, leaving it vulnerable to wildfire, when we see species that used to be native here moving north, 100, 200, 300 miles north, and new invasive species that are not natural to Aspen moving into the area, and when we see our water resources becoming more uncertain as not only climate is changing, but more and more people are asking for more and more water, we see that climate change can affect us through many of the ways that we already care about today and many of the reasons why people come to Aspen, including not just the natural environment, but also things like the ski industry in the winter. Last March, I was out in Utah, which has not only seen warming winters, but they also suffered from the extreme drought that California did. So their winter ski industry was decimated. And that's about 10% of their income is the tourism industry. So not only did we see loss of opportunities to do things we enjoy, but we're seeing hard financial economic impacts.
NASA and NOAA called 2014 the hottest year on record. And power plants in the U.S. are the number one source of carbon pollution. Does President Obama's clean power plan announced this week, does it do enough?
This will move us forward in the right direction. And not only will it reduce the amount of carbon dioxide we're putting into the atmosphere, because coal is one of the most inefficient, outdated ways to get our energy. So by just relying on more efficient ways, even if they are, say, natural gas, it will produce less carbon dioxide. But there's also some very real health implications, because burning coal is very dirty. It causes asthma in children. It affects low-income areas disproportionately because often those houses are the cheapest around, you know, the coal-fired plants. It has long-term impacts from all the pollutants it puts in the atmosphere. So it's kind of a win-win-win, both in terms of immediate impacts on our health and long-term impacts on climate. We need a price on carbon. But lacking a price on carbon, which I think would kind of fix most of our issues, lacking a price on carbon, having regulations that reduce carbon emissions from the biggest source of polluters, which are power plants, is a very helpful step in the right direction.
You publicly speak a lot about your religion, Christianity, and science, and how there's a perceived conflict between the two. You know, how are you reaching that group of people?
The reason why I felt it was so important to stand up and tell people, yes, I am a Christian and I'm a climate scientist, and trust me, it really is real, is because when you look at surveys of asking people, is climate changing due to human activities, and you break it out by denomination and by faith, the further and more conservative you go into the Christian faith, the less and less people are willing to say, yes, it is real and it is human. So that's why I felt it was so important to stand up and say, look, I am one of you. This is what I believe. We share so many beliefs in common. Let me share with you from my heart, not from my head, from my heart, why I care about this issue. First of all, starting with what we care about, our shared values. Then let me tell you why these values connect to the issue of climate change. We are told to love others as Christ loved us. And when we look around the world, the people who are poor, the people who don't have resources, the people who are suffering today, those are the people who are being most affected by climate change. And that's why I care. And I'm sure you would care too, wouldn't you? Yes. So then, you know, if people have any questions, then you can talk about, well, here's why we think it's real. Here's why we think it's humans. Here's what's going to happen if we keep on producing all of this carbon versus if we can, you know, limit ourselves and actually transition to clean ways of getting energy. But then let's talk about the solutions, because often we can agree on a lot of solutions too. Who doesn't want energy independence? Who doesn't want new technology? Who doesn't want a clean air for their kids to breathe or more water resources available to us all instead of being taken up by energy? I mean, this is what we all want. So that's kind of how I frame the issue. And the key really is, again, starting with our hearts, connecting on what's in our hearts, and then only, you know, briefly visiting facts and data and all that sciencey stuff, and then going back to say, hey, you know what? This stuff is so cool. Look at all the awesome things that are already being done around the world and that will be done in the future. Don't you want to live in that world? Yes.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much for having me.